Now, when you begin to enter into this pure mind, you are bordering the higher mind. Now, let us try to see some of the distinct and clear ideas of the pure mind, so that if you experience some of them and we become aware of them, we shall be able to appreciate better the higher planes of consciousness. One example that Socrates used to give is to lead the individual to define. He used to say that if you can define a word properly, you will get a distinct and clear idea of the thing in question. So one of the exercises of pure mind is the exercise of defining. There is a famous story about Socrates. A friend of his called Alcibiades once went to Delphi from Athens. He used to live in Athens, but he went to Delphi, another town in Greece, ancient Greece. And Delphi was famous for one very important thing, namely the oracle. There used to be a temple, and the priest of the temple used to be always a very cultivated mystic, cultivated spiritual leader. And the priest used to be reputed for always answering questions correctly. So if anybody had any doubt in ancient Greece, then one used to visit Delphi and used to go to the oracle, put a question and obtain an answer and settle the doubt. Now this friend of Socrates went to Delphi and he asked the question, who is the wisest man . And Delphi oracle answered Socrates. That was the answer given by oracle. Socrates is the wisest man. He was very pleased because he was a friend of Socrates, and to find from oracle this testimony that Socrates was the wisest man, he became very happy. And when he returned to Athens, he called upon Socrates and said, look, you are the wisest man. And Socrates was shocked. He said, it's not true. He said, no, but oracle has declared that you are the wisest. So Socrates, without being puffed up or anything of the kind, on the contrary, he said, for once oracle has made a mistake. I know myself that I am so ignorant. How can I be wisest? It's impossible. So he said, now I want to prove that oracles can sometimes be mistaken. I want to prove it. And I shall now prove it by showing that there are wiser men than myself. So he took upon him a task of interrogating all the wise people in Athens. And he went from one person to the other. He went to the poets, to the writers, to the statesmen, all those teachers, sophists, various kinds of people who were claiming that they were really wise people, and whom Socrates believed they were really wise. One after the other, he went to every one of them and ultimately found not that he was wiser than anybody else. He came to the conclusion that all of them are as ignorant as himself. But they believed that they were wise. But I am ignorant and I know that I am ignorant. Therefore I am wiser than them. So he could not disprove the oracle. So this is his famous statement. I am wisest because I know that I am ignorant. Now, one of the methods he used in his interrogation was the method of definitions. Let us take one example. He went to one of the very renowned philosophers of his time, who used to be respected, and he used to believe that even he is even wiser than people believe him to be. That was his own personal opinion. And Socrates went to him with a great respect and said, "Sir, I want to know what is virtue." So that philosopher said, "What a simple question. Benevolence is virtue. Don't you understand? Generosity is virtue. Gratitude is virtue. Courage is virtue." So Socrates said, "You must pardon me because I am very poor in formulating my questions. So maybe that I have not made my questions so clear to you. My question is not what are virtues. My question is what is virtue?" And the man was incapable of understanding the distinction between the two. Virtues and virtue. What are virtues? And what is virtue? He couldn't understand the distinction. So he again repeated. He said, "All right, if you want only one virtue, generosity is a virtue." So again he had to say, "I'm not asking you to give me an example of a virtue. My question is, what is it by virtue of which virtues are virtues?" That is my question. What is it by virtue of which virtues are virtues? That is my question. And this was beyond the depth of this man. He couldn't answer this question. So this is the way in which he used to ask for definitions. And these definitions are purely activities of pure mind. How will you define a virtue? You make yourself this exercise and you will find a real exercise of the pure mind. You will understand what is pure mind. Let us take another example. You see two objects, bring two flowers. Here are flowers. Now you will see that each flower is different from other flower in some respect. But they are all similar flowers. Now Socrates used to say, "How do you know that they are similar? How do you know that these two flowers are similar?" And he used to answer by saying that because you are seeing something which you are not seeing physically. you are seeing, you know what is identity by virtue of which knowledge you know they are similar. Identity you don't see anywhere. What you are seeing are only similarities. You are not seeing identities. You don't say that this flower is exactly identical with that. But unless you know identity, you will not say what is similar. Now, by what means do you see the identity? Not physically. Physical mind doesn't say identity. Vital mind doesn't say identity. Identity is seen by the pure mind. The pure mind seizes what it is to be a flower, basically. What it is to be a flower of this species. The identity of the species is seen not by physical terms. I mean, physicality always is similarities. Here is a group of horses. Each horse is different from the other horse. But they all belong to one species called the horse, which is not physically seen. The identity of horseness is not seen physically. It is mentally seen. So mind has a kind of a sense. It's a light.